That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find
that you'll
hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday, January 7th, 2023. Well, we thank you for joining us, and we'll bring some men on. Josh, way down south, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And thanks for being with us. And Tim, hey, Happy New Year from Nebraska. Thanks for being with us, brother. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Amen. I didn't know if – did anybody else come on? I wasn't sure if they did or not.
Yeah, Paul's here.
Oh, good morning, Paul. Good morning. Good morning. Certainly don't want to – don't want to short you out this morning.
Good morning, Paul.
So, and anybody else? Wasn't sure. Well, we say good morning, and good morning to you, the Remnant. We know that there's those joining us. They call and text and write and tell us anyway from Alaska and Hawaii and Florida and upstate Western New York and many points in between. So we say good morning to you as well, and thanks for joining us. It is Saturday, January 7th. And well, Josh, I'd ask if you would open us up in prayer this morning, sir.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the countless blessings that you pour out upon us, Lord. And do pray that you forgive us of our sins, both known and unknown. Pray that you wash us in that cleansing blood, Lord, and create us anew and clean. Your heart, Lord. Help us to be the men that you'd have us to be, Lord. Pray that you'd open our eyes. Help us to see, Lord. Help us to see your truth, to hear your word, Lord, and to be obedient servants to the kingdom. Lord, help us to be effective, righteous men, Lord. We pray for this broadcast this morning, and I pray that, Lord, that everything we speak will be a benefit to your remnant, Lord, and your truth. Lift up all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. And Be glad to take your call. And, you know, looking through the current events of the day, that was Thursday night. I talked a little bit about the confusion that the Republicans were going through. By then, it was, what, 11 rounds by Thursday evening, McCarthy running for the Speaker of the House, now that the Republicans have the House back, whoop, whoop. As of Thursday night, 11 votes, and they had not come to elect a speaker. And that was the first time in since 1860 it had taken that much. But they weren't done yet. No, they still had more to go. And so finally, I guess, late last night, early this morning, 15 rounds of votes, and finally finagled enough people. There were still, I think, four that abstained from voting yay or nay, but finally got McCarthy elected as Speaker of the House. And not that I really follow that, but there was one quote that I did want to share because I thought it applied. And it said it was from Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, House Freedom Caucus Chairman. And the quote was, in his 14 years in Republican leadership, McCarthy has repeatedly failed to demonstrate any desire to meaningfully change the status quo in Washington. And so I thought, you know, from one of their own, it is pretty interesting to, you know, to see this, that it is just that, just another what's the term we have for them? Rhinos. Just another member of the swamp. Just another lifetime politician that says the words. Oh, has the fluency. Says the words and apparently has the influence to stay in those positions of authority, those positions of leadership. But 14 years. Just the same old, that's just in leadership, and he's been another 10 years in there. Just the same old, same old. And so if we see a big difference, I'd be surprised. I really would. And I know you men have thought of it, and I couldn't help but think, you know, pastor's teaching and saying many times that for the most part, the majority of those politicians, Democrat, Libertarian, Republican, there's not a dime's worth of difference between most of them. And so time will tell. We'll see. I'm not putting my hope in, you know, finally a Republican House. Oh, now all our troubles are over. No, that's I don't think that's the attitude or thoughts of anybody on this program or anybody tuning in. Anyway, it pointed out to me the confusion. You know, we've certainly been praying for that D.C. sorcery to cease, and for many, even some that got elected, it seems like it's starting to take hold, and things are changing. And anyway, it just quite a bit of confusion in all of that this week. Didn't know if anybody had any comments on that.
Well, we're looking to Washington, D.C. as a god to fix this whole thing, and there's nothing, there's no bond there except greed and selfishness. It will be fixed from the bottom up when the people cry out to God and want to look in the mirror and change their own ways and look to God for their livelihood. You know, they have thrown all money into this economy to build it up falsely, but it's collapsing around our head. You know, the whole foundation in Washington, D.C. is wrong. It was laid out by the sorcerers, and they're definitely living up to it. It's collapsing, and let it go. We got to look to a different God than that place. That's the devil's city for sure.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah, we were calling them Republicrats 30, 40 years ago, you know, and we talk about the fruit test and tares don't make fruit. And there's even some of those weeds out there that make things that look like fruit, but they're not, you know. I mean, there's no help
to be had there. And, you know, when you ask God for help, he helps you. It may not always be the kind of help you're imagining, but it's the kind you need. And I think that's like, that was pretty much exactly what I was thinking, Paul. You summed it up very nicely. So.
Yeah, that fruit test. If, you know, oh, that people would realize that. I like how you put that. The tares, they don't produce fruit. Not the kind of fruit that we want. Not the kind of fruit that's pleasing to God. Not the kind of fruit that John the Baptist told them, hey, produce fruit with your repentance, showing that you've repented. Don't just come here and join the crowd, but show fruit. Bring forth fruit of your repentance. And they couldn't. They couldn't then, and it doesn't seem like they do that now either.
I think it's interesting to see, and, you know, it's probably always been there, but it's certainly become more prevalent, or at least more observable, to see the changes kind of all the way across the spectrum in the world today as far as people, pretty much all sides and all places that aren't totally, you know, overtaken by demonic influence and antichrist power. But I'm talking about regular folks who maybe don't understand a lot of things or haven't been raised in godly precepts. But every one of those people know that something is wrong. They may not be exactly sure what it is, but it's like, wow, this is a mess. They have that in agreement, you know. So when we see that, that's that grain of truth, that's, you know, that's bearing fruit all the way across the spectrum as far as, you just don't see anybody who really gets on there and goes, hey, you know, everything's great with the world. It's all awesome out here. I mean, everything's just couldn't get any better. We're seeing a lot of that go on, and I appreciate that. I mean, there's not all the ostriches with their head in the sand. They may not know what to do or where to go or anything else. That's our job to help them with that. That's God's job. You know, our job is to point them to that salvation, to that redemption, to that, overcome ability. And, you know, so, I mean, the Bible says that the fields are white unto harvest, and then he says that the workers are few, and I think that's what we're looking at. I think we're seeing a lot of ripening go on out there in the fields. A lot of people that are looking up and going, man, this can't continue like this. I mean, it's not, there's no long-term viability here. And I think that's what we're seeing. They talk about the fact that everything's going to end, and oh, this can't go on. But this unproven, unknown idea that they have that's totally warped and twisted. Now that's the answer. These politicians, these environmentalists, all these others, and it's like you don't even have any data. You don't even have any proof, and God's way has proof. There's history on it. There's everything else. If you're willing to consider it, the matter, you know.
Oh, amen.
And look at it from that point of view.
Looking at some of the quotes this morning of McCarthy, you know, it sounds just like the Democrats. We're gonna provide jobs, and we're gonna improve the security of the nation, and we're gonna do this, and we're gonna do that. Blah 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 blah. Republicrats, Republicrats, however you said that, it is. It's just the same old that gets us further and further down. Well, guys, let's try the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, good morning, Richard, Paul, everybody. I'm out here in Pitsip County, Puget Sound, Washington. I've been led to believe for a couple years now that ain't no politician going to make things right. It's the need for people to wake up and Constitution is helpful, but it's standing up for your God-given rights that God gives you out of the Bible that's going to make it right. And I haven't investigated this part, but I believe there's a few communities that have set themselves aside from the country that probably got things going out right, but politics is not going to do it. It's claiming your God-given right. I'm going to leave it with that. I yield. All right, thank you.
All right, brother. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the politicians aren't. They don't have the answer. It's just more for me. More for me, but like was mentioned, I think there, and I think Tim, I think you mentioned it, there are pockets. The remnant is all over. It is, one here, two there that understand, that don't want anything to do with it, that that are doing their best, that aren't trusting in and relying on and looking to Uncle Sam for everything. As opposed to this, it's not just this generation. There's some in every. It just seems to be pretty prevalent that are quite content just sitting at home on their couch playing video games and getting that check every week or every month. And that's still going on. I talked with the owner of the tire shop up here just this week. And he's been able to go back and rehire some people that worked for him in the past, but he's still got like three openings that he's got work for. He's working 18 hours a day, and he owns the company, and can't get people to come work. And talked with him, and he just shakes his head, and does not understand it. And unfortunately, when he just doesn't have the understanding into why, but he sure sees the issue, and he is living the problem, whether it's the lies out of D.C. or the result of people just not wanting to go to work, they there's so many, and Josh and I were talking a little bit before the program that just they have no idea that they're supposed to work. They're supposed to toil. They're supposed to get up in the morning, and if they're not going to school, get up and go to work. But they have no sense of that.
I was going to add on to what the caller was saying as far as our God-given rights. That's right, we do have those God-given rights, but there are prerequisites, there are requirements for us to be able to access those things. And our God is a God of order, and he's many, many times in the Bible tells us, if you do this, I will do that. And that's him providing for us, but we have to hold up our part of the bargain to be able to access those rights. And if we do not do our part, and if we sin, well, then we lose access to those blessings. It's a continual, it's a relationship, it's a give and take. And just same way with our children, we want to bless our children, and when they do what they're supposed to be doing, we give them access to those rights that we give them as parents. But whenever they mess up, we take those rights away, and in order to guide them back on the path, not to punish them or hurt them, but because we want them to be where they need to be successful, to be prosperous. And it's no different with us. Right now, that's the season that we're in. God is, believe it or not, fairly gently trying to put us back on that path. And if we won't go there, well, then the correction continues to step up and step up and to the point of destruction if we are that hard-headed.
Yeah, amen.
Absolutely.
I sure see the more and wish that more people would see it, that, our relationship with our children as parents it teaches a whole lot about our Heavenly Father's relationship with us. you know, whether it's what's desired or how it should be, or yeah, it was mentioned, we were talking earlier too about whining, right? Versus crying out to God. Two different things, you know, two different things. You know, when your son comes or your daughter comes and says, Dad, I need help with this. You know, help me. Is there anything you wouldn't do in a godly way? And that is godly to help them and to do that. And you know, when your children are crying out to you for that, that's one thing. The whining is something else, right? The thought comes to my mind, you know, whining about something. And I remember Mom and Dad saying, hey, I'll give you something to cry about. You want to cry about that? I'll give you. That's not anything to whine and worry and cry about, but I'll give you something to cry about if you want. And sometimes that's how our God is. You know, if we are whining, and I mean, it all comes from, you know, if you won't have a love for the truth, God will send a deluding spirit. And I think he sent a lot of deluding spirits in the land today, because there is a lot of whining, of, oh, well, I should have this, I should have that. I shouldn't have to work X amount of hours a week. I should just deserve to have everything that you have, Josh. You work 60 hours a week and have nice things. I should be able to sit on my butt at home and have those nice things too. You owe them to me. And then when they don't have it, they whine about it. And it is as Babylonian as it can get. As far away, our enemy has done a good job in removing the word of God from the teaching of our children. And, you know, what are we, second, third, fourth generation into that now? Where, you know, the teachers themselves are as lost as they can be. Anyway, I don't mean to ramble on.
Well, it's interesting that go ahead, Paul.
No, I was picking on Rick. So I see you're doing a good job, but you know, the trouble is, judgment will start first in the house of the Lord, and the reason it starts there because that's what's wrong. They have not been taught the truth. They don't know what sin is. That, you know, it's just. It's a spiritual problem. You know, the government has nothing to give that didn't take from somebody else. I lived in a communist country my whole life. They pray their, you know, they 4th of July fireworks, but there's nothing to celebrate. This country is in deep doo-doo. And as far as jobs, yeah, they're going to create jobs. Everywhere I look, there's help wanted jobs. You know, well, yeah, run on that platform. They should boo you right out of Washington.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that, the whining issue is, I think that's human nature. And I don't think that we all have that at some point. You're put upon to the point that you get kind of, I mean, Elijah did in 1 Kings 19, you know, oh God, you're the only one left, you know, I mean, and God reminded him that there was a whole bunch of going on, and God was still on the throne and God still had the power. And, you know, let's get back to work. And he did. So I think that it's all about our motivation, and it's all about our other things. And you know what? It's hard. I mean, I got a friend who's taking some apple cider vinegar, you know, natural stuff, and got another person that he was talking to, and they were carrying on about taking a little bit of it every day. And it was like, I can't do that. It's just terrible. It's nasty. I mean, it's just, oh. And my other friend who's taking it, he's like, well, I was a drinker for a lot of years, and he's not anymore. He about lost his liver and everything. He had to quit. And he said, gee whiz, that stuff's not near as bad as a shot of whiskey. You know? And I was just thinking about the differences there between how much can you take, you know what I mean? It's just horrible. I can't, you know, and well, that's not really that bad. So it's all about the differences in muscles and in experience levels and things like that. So I, you know, we God develops us. It's a proving ground, and we see that on a
also depends on the wish.
Yeah, well, that's true too. But you know, it's just we just look around and see some of those things, and it goes on all the time. So, and God's promise that He wouldn't bring us more than we could bear is there in the background working all the time. So,
well, and that's one thing that we do to each other that is an injustice is we try to make out like everything is great and easy and, you know, everybody on social media with their filters and you try to paint this picture of, a perfect life. It's just, you know, snowing or we're skiing on fresh snow and it's perfect packed. It's everything, whatever. And, you know, but it's hard for everybody. It's just there are different hards and you get to pick your hard, thankfully. And, but you know, to those folks out there that are struggling, and that don't have other people to talk to, I'm here to tell you, it's hard for everybody. It's not just you. And, you know, we're just all in different places and we're all struggling with different things. But if there was no resistance, then we would be weaker. That's what builds strength is resisting the resistance, you know, pushing against the resistance and continuing to do that repetition time after time and get up every morning and, you know, look at the, whether it be sunny or cloudy or snowing or raining. And this is a good day. This is a day that God gave me. It is a blessing and, I would be thankful for it and make the best of it. You know, attitude means so much. And, just know that when you're looking at those perfect pictures that everybody paints, that everybody has something. Everyone's struggling. There's challenges for everybody. It's not just you. But whenever you got Jesus Christ in your corner, when you got the Word in your corner, and you use that as a lamp to light your path, you're not just going to make it. You're going to prosper. The Bible, they're just full of stories of different ones that made mistakes and lost everything they had. And then some that even didn't make mistakes and lost everything they had. And then God restored them, whenever they looked to Him. And, you know, that restoration is there in Him. And it looks different for different people because prosperity looks different for different people. And, the older I get, the more I learn that since I've had children and the more children I have, my values have changed and I do see more what is important. What does prospering look like to me? And, you know, the main things on my list have nothing to do with money.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. It's an endurance race. I mean, that's what it is. And that's called out in the Bible many times. I mean, occupy until I come, endure. We're taught about endurance in the Bible and those things are, that tells you all on its own. Anybody who's ever run distance or anybody who's ever worked really long days in hard labor, you know, knows that, it's an occupy, it's an endurance thing. You know, at the end of the day, you look back sometimes and go, whew, man, that was a, wow, we made it. That was a rough one, you know, so, it wasn't like you punched the clock and you just showed up and stood around until it was time to go. And it was a long time. There was a lot of stuff going on. So, there was sweat and, bunged fingers and, you know, a lot of heat or a lot of cold and, those things went on all day long. And it doesn't matter what occupation you're in or what, you know, those things go on. And when that's the way life is right now with things going on, people are all struggling to endure, struggling to occupy. And, but our help comes from on high and He will help us if we ask, if we cry out, if we talk to Him, He's there. So, what a blessing. So,
as I look back in life, a lot of the things that stressed me out at one time was actually self-inflicted because there was no need for it because the hand of God was going on before me. But, you know, I got stressed out over things that I thought should be different, but that was my problem. You know, the Bible says, blessed are my afflictions. And, you know, I learned through time to when I have an affliction, I said, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me? And you talk about a change of attitude. It's huge. I mean, we're self-inflicted all the time. You know, he said, if you're going to live God, you're going to be hated. That's just part of the deal. And everybody wants to be part of some big club and just be everybody like you. Well, let me tell you, when crap hits the fan, you'll see who likes you. You know, you go into a steeple house and say some truth, you find out who your friends are about none. So I've been there. But get used to it because that's just part of the deal. You know, God said, you do it my way, you're going to be hated. And, you know, I got a thing right in front of me, Pastor Peter wrote, don't miss out. And one of the things, if you miss the eternal life itself, it's humbling. All right. People don't like to be humbling because they're proud. It's important. Maybe not, if you think so, you know, and it's mandatory. Now that's God's way. But the key to the whole of first one, it's humbling. Christianity is humbling. Jesus laid down his life. They had no reason to do that. He came down off the throne of God and did that, laid it down. Now, when you get baptized for the remission of sin, that's humbling because you just told the whole world you're a sinner. You know, and nobody, oh, I'm not as bad as he is, you know, stuff like that. No, it's humbling. You're a sinner. God said so. That's his standard. And see this thing where they, you know, if you ain't got the gift or you ain't speaking in tongues, it's plain BS because there's all kinds of them. And if you're speaking in tongues, that's go ahead. That's you and God. But don't push it on other people. It's the real deal. You know, there's stuff I went around with my sister and I didn't understand at all. And there's things in there I don't understand. And it's, you know, to just fight, I don't understand it. But all my communication has been with the substandard English that I have, and he's definitely worked in my life. But, you know, everybody, you know, you got to get filled with the Spirit. Well, let me tell you, that Spirit comes on all kinds of different levels. It depends how much faith you have. So that's my take on it.
Amen.
You know, we know the lesson that the more we're given, the more that's required of us. And if we manage that more, well, then God will multiply us more. You know, we're not to dig a hole and bury what we've got so that it's not any good to anybody. We're to take it and to multiply it and to use it. Back to the relationships and looking as with children. Over the years, people that I have been able, that I've had the privilege to help along the way, and I don't know anything much better than whenever somebody's in a bad way and they're going down a bad road and you're able to help that person and share with them and help them to change direction and turn and prosper. I don't know that there's much of anything better than that or anything that I've been exposed to of whenever you're able to take what you've got and help somebody else with it. And then they take it and grow it. That's just, it's awesome.
Amen. 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 That was, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, Zach. That was Job's, we're reading Job in the Bible reading plan, right in the middle of Job right now. And his friends missed that, you know. His three friends, when you read about it, you know, they were very elaborate in their pointing out, you know, his problems and his errors and the things he must have done to have, you know, this persecution by God. But they're not praised in that. In Job 16:5, Job says, "But I would strengthen and encourage you with the words of my mouth, and the consolation of my lips would soothe your suffering." He said, "You know, if you were in this boat, it'd be a little different." And but you're right, to help others. I mean, isn't that, you know, that's what Jesus said, right? Love God, love your neighbor. And when you get the opportunity to help someone, that's some good stuff. Let's try the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. This is Tom calling from New Jersey.
Good morning, Tom.
I want to inform the people that there's a new video out called The New Constitution, Living War Crimes. And it's about how this thing is not a vaccine, but it's actually a military project And it's a bio-warfare weapon that's being inoculated into the people's arms. Have you heard about this video yet at all?
Tom, heard about a lot of them. Haven't been able to watch all of them.
Well,
but
this is a brand new one out. I think it came out on the 1st of January. And yeah. I think it's extremely important. I really recommend that everybody see this video. It's 46 minutes long, and it's called The New Constitution, Living War Crimes. And I highly encourage everybody to just search engine it, find it. It's right out there. Everybody can see it. And it's really, really, really important and excellently done.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. God bless. Have a happy new year. You know, talking about those vaccines, everybody was, at least in the news and the media, were talking about the football player that collapsed during the Monday night football. And I know I'm not really I wasn't watching it. I had just had several people send me links to it. But, you know, having a – basically, he died. His heart stopped. In his 20s, you know, you would think prime of health, youth, healthy, all that stuff. And the more you look into that, if that's something that, you know, interests you, dozens, hundreds – of young people that this has happened to. Saw one report from One American News. 769 men and women collapsed of heart issues between March of 21 and March of 22. And soccer players overseas, all through Europe, you'd see pieces of that last year. Here's a report, nearly 800 athletes, young, fit people in the prime of life, falling down on the field. Says 500% more soccer players in the EU are dropping dead from heart attacks than just a year ago. Now, that's not a coincidence. And anyway, just thought that that was, there's a lot going on there. There really is. It's nothing new under the sun. It is more and more of what the thief does, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Probably, see if there's a date on this, this pastor's pamphlet, warning, vaccinations are dangerous. He says at the time of this writing, July 1993. The warning was going out even before then, but then Pastor got it in print form. And it hasn't got better. It's just continued on. I think God allows it to show his remnant, to show his people, see, do you not see what's going on? And most people will say, no. Why do you think that? You're a conspiracy theorist. Right? But that's down to between conspiracy theorist and proven fact. That's down to, it used to be only about 6 months. Now it's down to about four. That it's just, it's more of what the enemy does, the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We've got several books. I'll take just a second and then I'll turn it over to you guys. Again, if you're not familiar with it, folks, Pastor Peter's pamphlet, Warning, Vaccinations Are Dangerous. Timeless truths that just point it right out. Simple as that. A couple new books that we've gotten in the last year or so. This one, Vaccines, Autoimmunity, and the Changing Nature of Childhood Illness, from a medical doctor. And this little quote from the back. During a decades-long family practice, Dr. Tom Cohen observed that his pediatric patients who weren't vaccinated seemed far healthier than those who were. Huh. How about that? Got another one by two MDs, an MD and a PhD. What's making our children sick? How industrial food is causing an epidemic of chronic illness and what parents can do about it. And then another one, How to End the Autism Epidemic. Now, folks, these books are not, at least these three, you know, they're not from this ministry. They're not from a Christian perspective. They're just from a secular perspective that these truths are being made being made known. They are evident out there. If you choose to ignore them, well, okay, that's fine. That's between you and God. If you do, but there's information out there regarding it.
Well, we should not we shouldn't turn to pharmakia to protect us. We shouldn't be looking to some vaccine to keep us healthy, and that is wrong. But for those folks that have done it and see that it's wrong and have stopped, I mean, whenever you repent of making that mistake and plead the blood is sufficient. And, you know, it should stop right there. You pray about it. You pray for repentance. And scripture tells us that we can take poison and be fine, but you can't continue down that path. When you continue to sin by looking to other gods, then you're going to reap the benefit of that. And it's not easy. If you go the no vaccine way either. I mean, there's going to be, they're going to try to scare you and fear mongering, and you're going to get letters in the mail more than likely, you know, oh, you're not up to date on your this and that. You need to see your doctor ASAP. And, you know, we got one a little while back ourselves, and they're tracking all the medical records, and they're this and they're that. But when it all boils down to it, you got to choose which God you're going to serve. And, you know, choose your heart. But I know that I'd a whole lot rather be at the mercy of our living God, God Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, would be the God of this world. And that's what, when you point fingers and, you know, oh, it was a scientific thing. It was a new world order. It was this government, that government, whoever broke COVID. They're all on the same team, and they're all working for the same boss. And he ain't ours.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I like that. They're all working for the same boss. So we're all working for somebody. Who's your boss? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Amen.
So,
amen.
Yeah, I
amen. Well, and the word says, Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. You either gather or you scatter. It said in many different ways, many different times, but it's that way. Yeah. I like how you put it, Tim. Who's your boss? Who's your boss? Who do you work for? What voice do you listen to? Do you listen to that voice that promises, that said he came to bring life and life abundant? Well, that sounds pretty good to me. Life and life abundant. Or are you listening to that voice of the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy? And you know, we have free will. You can choose which voice you're going to listen to, which boss you're going to have. And
and so much of the time, those choices, Richard, is not this great big fork in the road where there's a sign that says heaven or hell. It's every day when you choose whether to deal fairly with your brother or not, or you choose to steal this one little whatever from work because nobody will know. You know, it's all those little choices along the road. It's those little meandering bends. And so much of the time it's not. And sometimes you do get to those forks and it's like, well, this one's going to hurt. You know, you gotta make a tough choice. But all the little things every day guide you, and you can look up and be way off the path without having ever made a great big decision to turn to the left.
That's a really good point. Really good one. Yeah. We do that every day, and it isn't even that you're not going to make mistakes, you know, in your choices, because it can happen, and it does happen to every one of us. Sometimes we look at things and go, but it's also about course correction. You know, you look up and go, oh, we got to go back. I made a mistake. So we're turning this bus around and we're going to get back on the right path here. We've messed up. So, and it may not be a really big, like you said, a really big turnaround. It's more like just a, that was wrong. So, and we gained experience about identification of right and wrong choices when we do that. So, what one of us doesn't look back over the course of our life and recognize that there were some points there where we should have, or where we did, you know, course correct and make things right.
And that whole process is back to that humility that y'all were talking about earlier. You got to have that humility. You got to be humble enough to admit that you're wrong and then to want to do it right, to get it right.
Yeah, you ever been on a trip? You ever been on a trip and you find yourself, you've made a wrong turn somewhere. You know, you're driving and you got off the map or your GPS was wrong or whatever. And it's like, hey, wait a minute. This is not where I'm supposed to be. You just have to change, you know, get back on that road. Seems like we've heard that before.
Well, humility will bring a teachable spirit too. They're one and the same. When you're humble, you can be taught. So, humility is the bottom line of Christianity because that's why Jesus is so hated, because people are proud and he humbled himself and he is the symbol of humility. So,
absolutely.
Amen.
You know, our pride, we do it our way, you know, we'll do this, this, and this, and get this, but sometimes it just, well, most of the time, it just ain't that way. You know, if you're humble, he'll dump his blessings on you, has me, you know, and, you know, it's hard not to have a conversation that don't involve money that was mentioned earlier, because everybody talks about things in terms of money, but like Josh said, all his blessings, that's what's important, it has nothing to do with money, and that's true. When you have a children's soul in your hand or person's soul in your hand, it isn't, you can't buy it. You know, that's the religion. They think you can, you know, donate to the church and, you know, you can buy your way in. There's no buying into what's really important. So, yeah, conversation about money is hard to find.
Yep. Amen. Proverbs, 16:19 says, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud. You know, so it pays to seek that humility, and it's really tricky in life because, you know, it's like you get so proud of how humble you are. That's kind of a stumbling block too, you know?
Yeah. Well, then it goes back to
I got a ways to go in that department.
Yeah. Then it goes back to that daily fight of faith that you mentioned, you know, it's not that you say, well, I'm humble, so I'm done. Nope, you just kind of overstepped. And it's a daily thing. It really is. It's that pastor talked about that and taught on it. That daily fight of faith that we all have to do. Those daily choices. Do we go left? Do we go right? You know, again, if we find ourselves on the wrong path, guess what? Just, you know, you find yourselves in a hole. What's first thing to do? Stop digging. Stop digging first. And because most of the time it was mentioned earlier today as well, that most of the time it's of our own doing. And so stop digging, turn around, get off that path, get back on a different one. It's those daily choices that should be strengthening us and moving us further down that path God has before us.
Well, I was a product of the public school system and the churches and everything. And for most of my life, I had it crossed up that meekness equated to weakness. And, you know, humility, you had to be humble whenever you were weak because you wasn't strong enough to be a man. And, now I see that couldn't be further from the truth, but it's programmed into us to believe that way, to be proud and arrogant. And, it couldn't be further from the truth that whenever a man is meek and humble and he's got the power to destroy you, but he chooses not to because he loves you and he wants to do right by you and he wants to help you. That is strength right there. That's strong. That's what a man looks like. Not somebody who runs around beating on their chest and talking loud and trying to make everybody else cower down. That's not strength. And we get that twisted. And it, like I said, that's by design from the other side. But, man, now I realize more. I don't have it figured out. But I realize more what it is to be strong. And then so therefore I aspire to be strong. And I aspire to keep myself in check and to be humble and to have conversations from a different point of view, from that meekness and humility. And, man, it goes 1,000 times better.
Part of being strong is not submitting to your weaknesses.
Amen. Yes. And submitting to your God. That it takes strong, it takes a lot of strength to recognize that there is a power that wants well for you and good for you and is over and above you. And, you know, it's, if you've ever worked with people who have that, and you work with them, they have that. You always have those guys there that, you know, we call it, they got a chip on their shoulders. You know, it's like, you're trying to get things done. You're like, hey, why don't you, well, why do I got to go do that? You know, why do I have to, you know, I mean, have them do that. I'm better than that, you know? And it's like, and we see that as a microcosm there of that. They see themselves as better than everyone else or stronger than everybody else. And the truth of the matter is we're all just tools in God's shed, you know? So it's like a sharp tool, dull tool, whatever it is. If he needs you to go do something, that's your job. You know, put your humility on, put the joy of your salvation on and go do your job. You know, I mean, it's like, that's what God wants. That pleases him. Yeah. And, some of us worry more about pleasing ourselves than we do about pleasing our God. And that's an issue.
Amen.
You know? So,
you know, Tim, I think back to that apple cider vinegar. You know, it's good for you. There's no doubt about it. You can't argue that. It is good for you. And the more you take, the better it is. But, it's got a bite. It's got a bite, but it's a choice to make. And it's not always an easy choice. Sometimes you look at that bottle, or at least I do, and go, not today. So anyway, well, guys, thanks for joining us. We are out of time, but thank you all for taking time out this morning, men, and encouraging the remnant. And remnant, we do want to, we thank you for tuning in. We want to invite you to church tomorrow. Join us at scripturesforamerica.org, and you can do that at starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast, and we'll have a little bit of everything for you, a little scriptural insight, a timeless pulpit truth. We're doing Pastor Peter's series, They and Us, and what a hard-hitting series it is, certainly an understanding that we need as a people. And we'll have a new message for you as well, give you the opportunity to partake of communion. So I hope you'll join us there. Scripturesforamerica.org. Just click on the live stream. See you then.
Rolling, shake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high. Ha! Ha!
Rolling, 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 rolling.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.